Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us again. We're very excited. It looks like we're going to be seeing each other sooner than later in person, so we thank God for that. My word of encouragement for you this morning is that Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So Pastor will be speaking about the new heavens and the new earth, which is new creation. And so when someone asks me, what will our glorified bodies be like when we're resurrected? I point them to the actual resurrection and the fact that we will be like Christ in that way. So when we sing the next hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You can really imagine what it's gonna be like and just find some hope and excitement in that. So let's pray and we'll begin worship. Lord God, we thank you so much for all that you've given us. Thank you for another opportunity to wake up and worship you. And may we just give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Oh, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Oh, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. And this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, I'm happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. Oh, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Oh, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Oh, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long. Of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go? Seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow? Who imagined the sun and gives source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night? None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. You are amazing. Amazing, God. incomparable, unchangeable. You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, God, all-powerful, all-powerful, untamable. Awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. So amazing, God. You are amazing.
The whole earth is filled,
and the whole earth. filled, and the whole earth is filled. Glory.
God bless you today. So happy to be with you. Again, I'm Pastor Bert Lloyd from Bread of Life Church in Booleville. We have been going through a series of sermons about the second coming of Christ, and we'll continue that today. I'd like to open with a word of prayer and thank God for this time. And Lord God, we do invite your Spirit to come and have full reign. Lord God, open the hearts of the people that they might receive the truth of your word. And open my heart, Lord God, that I might bring it forth as you intend by the power of the Holy Spirit. We bless you this day, Lord God. We pray that all that have been affected by this virus, Lord God, and the results of the virus, Lord, would be blessed, Lord God, and find that even in the most difficult situation, Lord, you are working all things after the counsel of your own will, and that you will work it good in the end, Lord God, and you will receive glory from this, and people will be blessed. And so we give this day to you, Lord God. We praise you for your love. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Again, a series of sermons that we have been doing about the second coming. And, of course, Christ coming for his saints, we talked about that, and coming with his saints, and age of the lawless one, the wicked one, the Antichrist, which will be released on the earth, and after that, the time of tribulation, and when Christ returns with his saints to the Mount of Olivet, and there he throws to Satan, the false prophet, and the beast into the lake of fire, and we live and reign with him a thousand years. At the end of that time, of course, you know, Satan stirs up again, is released for a season, and Christ squelches that immediately, and then we enter into the time of the great white throne judgment, when all are resurrected from the grave that have not been raised with Christ at his second coming, or when he has met them in the air, and they will be judged, and the final resting place for them will be, and I can't say resting place, but the final place for them will be the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. But what a glorious truth we have to present today will be the new heaven and new earth. That will be the bliss for all those that have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we look forward to that time when he will come for us. So as I said, we're looking today at the new heaven and new earth, and we may ask the question, why a new heaven and a new, what's wrong with the old one? Well, what's wrong with the old one? It was filled with corruption. When Adam and Eve fell, they brought corruption into not only humanity, but into all of nature itself and to all created things. All physical things that are created are now under the curse of corruption. And there will come a time when Jesus does return and sets up his kingdom, that again Satan will be put under, and the beautiful thing is that Jesus has taken the sins of all mankind, and he took the accusation of Satan away when he died on the cross of Calvary, and he will bring the execution of that in the new heaven and earth. So a couple of scriptures that speak specifically mentioning the words new heaven and new earth are 2 Peter 10 through 13. And said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth and all the works therein shall be burned up. And then seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And here's verse 13. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We are looking to be in a place where we are consumed with righteousness and we are righteous ourselves. We are clothed with righteousness, but there will be a time when we ourselves will be righteous before God, because nothing unrighteous can enter that new heaven and new earth. So the following scripture is one that has always encouraged me in the book of Revelation. And following the judgment of the great white throne, in chapter 20, John now sees the new heaven and new earth. And I want to look at chapter 21 especially, and a few verses from chapter 22. But taking the first 8 verses of chapter 21, I read, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them and be their God." What a beautiful thought that is. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their place in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And so looking at verse 1 again, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I always found that interesting where it said no more sea. We often think of this represents the fact that sea represents judgment. In many places that the Bible, God brought judgment on the world in the days of Noah through the flood, and that was a time when he brought safely through the flood those that were in the ark, and we see that perfection. And so it will be that there'll be no more sea, no need of judgment, because all will have been judged and completed of that. So just as Christ rose from the dead in a resurrected body, Christ was resurrected into a glorified body, the new heaven and the new earth will be resurrected. The whole heaven and earth, all of the physical universe, the created universe, will be resurrected. Christians have met their end in various ways, killed by animals, lost at sea, died in the war. Their bodies have been eaten, decayed, burned, dispersed in a myriad of ways. But in the resurrection, their bodies will be restored as glorious bodies. I mean, all the cells will be called from wherever they've been scattered to, and they will be transformed, and it will be that resurrected body, transformed, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 said, that we would be free from corruption. This mortal must put on immortality, free from sin, free from sickness, free from death. So too, the earth will be transformed after being consumed by fire. There will be a resurrected earth and heaven and new creation, all of nature that groaned for the glorious liberation of the sons of men will be as one born again, a new creation. Old things will be passed away. Behold, all things will be made new. At verse 2, John says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Can you imagine what that scene is going to look like when we are with Christ, and those that are on the earth will see the new Jerusalem, the holy city descending from heaven? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you in John 14. And it well may be that he went to prepare this place, the holy city, for us to dwell in for an eternity. Coming down from God out of heaven, I'm thinking about the truth and the beauty of that, the impact of the holy city coming down, descending from heaven. What a glorious sight. Just as Christ went into heaven and we were caught up with him, so this heavenly city is going to come in a like manner. And it was going to come as a bride. This is an immaculate city, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. A vision of ultimate beauty and awe we're going to see as we see the holy city. Verse 3 said, I heard a voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and he shall be with them and be their God. He himself shall be with them and be their God. So God would come to Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening, the Bible tells us, and fellowship with them, and he would spend time with them. And we also will have even a greater fellowship with Christ, but we will be the bride of Christ, fellowshipping with Christ and with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we will have that fellowship for eternity. But imagine, we will be with God and fellowshipping with him because we have been taken to eternity with him. The point here is that we are always welcome to the throne room of God. The tabernacle has been done away with. The temple itself has been done away with. It is God that we can, the Bible said, come boldly into the throne room of grace. Well, now we are in the very presence of God eternally, and the children of the Father, and especially those espoused to Jesus Christ. So just as Christ is the firstborn from the dead into the new creation, the body that he has is now glorious. So we too will be transformed. The Bible said, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, our bodies will be transformed and made like unto his glorious body. What a proposition, what a thing to look forward to. But the purpose is that we might be able to enter into the new heaven and new earth. A mere human that has not been transformed would not be capable of beholding such a glorious state, let alone living in it. But we will be able to, because we have been transformed and made like unto Christ's glorious body. This place will be perfect. Perfect in holiness, perfect in beauty, without corruption of any kind, and most glorious. Christ will be there with us for all eternity. The Bible says in verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And yes, that is true. The former things are passed away. Any tears that need wiping away were wiped away during the millennium and when we were called to Christ. For the Bible says that there is no more crying and no more death and no more sorrow and no more pain. We will not be crying, and he will have wiped all tears away. The world will have passed away, and a new will be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I've often had that in my mind, that's one of the key elements of eternity with Christ. It will be a time of joy. The Bible tells us to rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. In all things we are to give thanks. So we are filled with joy that Christ has redeemed us. But imagine that ecstatic joy that we will have in all of eternity. The Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, or ear hath heard, neither has entered into the mind of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him." But we know that in our spirit, that it will be glorious, and what a time that will be. And we look forward to that time. Verse 5, "And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." It is Jesus Christ who sits on the throne, and we will be with him, and he will give to all the quenching desire of their heart, their thirst. In John 4:10, Jesus answered the woman at the well at Samaria, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have said, asked of him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence will you get this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and the children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of the water, this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life." This all refers to the abundance of joy and blessing that those who are eternally with Christ will experience. Verse 7, he says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." These are they that have been born again and are now with Christ for all eternity. verse 8, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And we can see that it is those that do not have their name written in the Lamb's book of life that are not judged according to the shed blood of Christ, but they've chosen to be judged by their own works, and their own works will condemn them. These are those of the Christ-rejecting world who are now in torment. What an awful proposition for them. And now he gives a description of the glorious city of God. And I just want to read through this with a few comments. And it said, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show ye the Lamb's wife. The city is not the bride, nor is it the wife." What is being represented here is that the city is a beautiful bride compared to the true bride of the Lamb of God. This beautiful bride is the bride of Christ. The city is the dwelling place for the bridegroom, which is Jesus Christ, and the church, which is the bride. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, again descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It had wall great and high, and had 12 gates, the 12 angels and names that were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes, the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, the north 3 gates, the south 3 gates, and the west 3 gates. And the walls of the city had 12 foundations, and then names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me, had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof, and the walls thereof." 12 is a very prominent number. 12 angels, 12 gates, 12 apostles, 12 tribes of Israel. And verse 16, "And the city lies foursquare." It means it's like a square. "And the length is as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs." And they've translated that into about 15,000 miles. "The length and the breadth and the height of it were equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. And the building, the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear crystal. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, tenth chrysophras, and the 11th a jacinth, and 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the streets that were a city were pure gold, as it were transparent glass." Imagine that. That is the city that we're going to spend eternity with Christ. And I can only, these words probably don't even encompass all the beauty that we will be able to comprehend when we are with Christ eternally. Like Jerusalem of old, these walls are various. And I said there are 12 gates. Nehemiah listed 10 gates. And the revised old city that was rebuilt by a Turkish Sultan had 8 gates, but the new heaven and new earth, that wall will be around and have 12 gates in it. So I imagine the holy city as being comprised of not only glorious accommodations, but glorious inhabitants, which we will be part of. Just as the walls of the tabernacle and the curtain and the articles of worship were glorious as instruments of worship in the Old Testament tabernacle, the function of the tabernacle would have been incomplete without the people entering in, the priesthood and the sacrifices and such. And in addition, the object of the worship was the fact that the Spirit of the living God resided in the Holy of Holies. It was each of these aspects of the tabernacle that made it complete. So the Holy City, the New Jerusalem, will be combining all these components dedicated to worship. It will be a city alive. It will be a city of worship. It will be a city alive with praise and worship of Christ. The object of that worship truly is Jesus Christ. Verse 22, "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." The way into the Holy of Holies being open, there is no need for a temple. and an approach to God through the sacrificial system. We come boldly before God, our Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, as we are the bride. The city had no need of sun, neither moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. A light bulb gives a light to illuminate objects around it. But the most glorious object to behold in the new Jerusalem will be Jesus Christ himself, who, being the author of all light, is gloriously illuminated as the true light. And his light will give light to that entire city because he just emanates with such glory. The Bible says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. From this verse, it appears that there will be others in the new earth that are not the bride of Christ, but rather friends of the bride, so to speak. And in eternity, there will be not only the church, which is the bride of Christ, but saved Jews and saved Gentiles as well. All inhabitants will give glory to the Lord God Almighty. It says, the gates of it shall not be shut all day or all night, for there shall be no night there. It says, not shut all day, for there is no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh alive, but that which are written in the Lamb's book of life. See, none of these things are there. Because they are a place of torment. So there would be nothing that works an abomination that will even try to enter or make a lie or any defiling thing. That won't exist in the new heaven and a new earth and new or out of it other than the place of torment. And he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Isn't that amazing? A beautiful river of life. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations. And this is my verse that really touches me. It says, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. The curse came when Adam and Eve decided to disobey God. The last enemy was death, and it was judged and defeated at the cross, and sentence was enacted at the great white throne judgment. And so the curse has been removed. There will be no curse and no corruption and no sin and no death. And the Bible says in verse 4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Imagine, this is the blessing promised in Matthew. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Imagine that. We shall see God. We saw him with our spiritual eyes, but now we will see him face to face in all his glory. What an amazing thing that will be. There shall be no night there, and there need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That is, I'd like to say, not the end. That's the beginning of eternity, for eternity never ends. We will live gloriously with Christ, and who knows what God has prepared. He is new every morning. He will have glorious wonders to show us every morning that we are in that holy city and with Christ. Revelation said, and the Spirit and the Bride said, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That is an offer made to you, and it is made on this side of eternity. For when Christ does return, and the tribulation is ended, and then judgment has fallen, there will be no opportunity for eternal life. But Jesus Christ has extended his hand to you. The gates are open now, and the Bible said that the gate is narrow, the gate is wide, and the path is broad, which leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat, but the gate is narrow, and the way is narrow, which leads to life, and few there be that find it. God wants you to be one of the few that find eternal life in Jesus Christ. The Bible said, we shall reign with him forever and ever. Hallelujah, what a proposition. I am eager for the consummation of these things. And what a day that will be when I shall see Jesus face to face. that is like a glorious dream come true, a dream that we would sit and meditate upon. It has come true at last. I make that offer to you this day, that you would receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and have part in that new heaven and new earth, which is prepared for them that love Him. May God bless you. If you have never asked Christ in your heart, I give you this offer again this day. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon His name as this, the one who paid for your sins, the one who loves you and has prepared a place for you, the one who is coming back to take you to Himself, that where you are, where He is, there you may be also. God makes that offer to you, and He offers for you to come and be with Him. Just say, Lord God, I need you in my life. I admit that I'm a sinner, and I need my sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. I accept you as my Lord, as my Savior, and my God, and I will walk by your Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. May God bless you this day and fill you with the joy of Christ. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In Christ's name, amen.